This is John Nance from Redwood Advisors, and we are lucky to have Jennifer Houlihan, who goes by Huli, with us here today for an interview for the Austin Innovation Ecosystem Report 2017. Huli, thank you for taking the time to do this. Thanks
My
for coming
pleasure.
Down and talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, would love to start by turning it over to you and having you and the listeners to tell us a little bit about yourself and the work you do here in Austin for the Austin Forum.
Well, the Austin Forum on Technology and Society is about 10 years old, and we started on the UT campus as a way to facilitate conversations between kind of right brain, left brain, right? That we've got people who are focused on technology and delivering on products, but then we've also got people who are interested in the human experience and how that changes workforce education, how a new application might change how healthcare is delivered. So we've grown over the years, and we're moving into a new space in January 2018. And I think one of the things we're most proud of at the forum is the fact that we continue to offer our programming free of charge, that there's no barrier to entry. No matter how much or how little you know about tech, you're welcome to come to any event. There's always a chair for you. And whether we're talking about Bitcoin or blockchain or just talking about how tech industry in general or tech companies can give back to their communities, there's always something different every month.
And as some, and I've actually gone to a few of your events, and I can tell, you know, anyone who hasn't, it's actually... they're very high quality. They're very interesting, and they're very well attended. Could you tell just a little bit about the programming? I know you guys have, you know, your monthly series,
sure.
And just give us a little bit more for people who may not know about Austin Forum.
Yeah, once a month we have an event that is about a particular topic. Sometimes it's a debate between two speakers. Sometimes it's a solo speaker. Sometimes it's a panel. But we try to find a topic that is broad enough for people of all interest levels to find a way to engage, find a hook to engage, and also something that's in the news. So as we look at the coming year, we'll be talking about virtual reality. We'll be talking about AI. We'll be talking about what's next for web and mobile, and maybe having that as a debate. One point of view is that web and mobile are soon to be so intertwined as to you won't be able to tell the difference, and others saying no, one is going to take over and the other one's going to be left behind. So we have those conversations. And then what I think makes the forum unique is that we break and there is a networking with food and drink, again, for free, for people to talk about what they've heard that night. So they may have just discovered that there's an opportunity for microfinance in an African country that they've been following in their church. And this is a way that tech can plug into that. We have a couple that comes in and the husband is in IT and the wife is a social worker, and this is their date night. So they come, and then after the networking, they go out, they have a nice evening, and they talk about the human experience with tech. So we do have that social element built into it. I think some of my work during those events is to find the people who are standing by themselves and to bring them into the room and introduce them, because there's everybody has a different comfort level with that sort of thing. So we try to make it as safe and friendly and warm a space as possible to talk about really complicated things with really smart people. And it's always a great evening.
That's great. And how many... just in terms of attendance levels, I mean, I was really struck by how many people came.
Mm-hmm.
It
depends on the topic. When we did blockchain, there was a line around the block, and it was 100 some degrees, and people were very patient. So that one was, I would say that one was probably over 200. Our new space will be able to hold 300 guests, so we've got room to grow now.
That's great. It's a really great institution.
Thanks.
So thank you guys for the work you guys do.
Thanks.
So... would love to just talk a little bit about, before we dig into some of the details, kind of your assessment of Austin's innovation ecosystem as a whole. And I could sort of stop there. We asked people to kind of assess, you know, the ecosystem on sort of a five scale. But would love to just kind of, you know, on sort of a white space question for you, like, how would you assess it? Where do you think we are? And
Well, for the people who are working so hard, I would love to see some more, some bigger exits for the people who have put their heart and soul into the companies that they've built and the teams that they've assembled. I think that's an opportunity for growth in Austin if we want to have continue to make a name for ourselves as a destination for tech geniuses who want to start their own companies. I do think that we have an advantage over other markets in that there is so much going on in this city. There's a constant opportunity to refill your tank as a creative, whether you're an engineer or a designer or whatever role you play in the tech ecosystem. Between the green space, I mean, I'm looking across the room, there's a dog here. Everywhere is dog friendly. A lot of places are kid friendly. The live music, the public art. There's always a way to replenish when you just can't look at a screen for another minute. And that's, I think, something unique about Austin, that quality of life outside of the office or away from the desk or the couch or the beanbag or wherever you happen to be working.
That's a great segue into, you know, one thing we've been asking people is just to kind of think a little bit about or offer their perspective on, you know, which qualities really have been a strength and advantage for the city. And I think you just talked a little bit about quality of life. What other ones, you know, would you point to when you sort of say, hey, if I was to do sort of a balance sheet view of Austin and say, here's our real big assets that I think really are going to help us get to wherever we go, you know, what would jump out for you?
Well, I would say compared to some of the other markets, say Silicon Valley and places that have a much higher cost of living, I would say that Austin is competitive currently. We're growing so rapidly that it's impossible to say how long that might last. But right now, I think Austin's housing is competitive and attractive to people who are moving from some of those higher priced markets. But again, that could change in an instant. That could change with an HQ2 or something accidentally wandering into Austin. So right now, cost of living, I think, is a great differentiator and a great advantage, as is the culture in general, the outdoorsy culture of physical fitness and arts.
Great. And I, it's an interesting point because that cost of living, the way I'm hearing you say it, is it's an advantage, but it's an advantage potentially at risk that could theoretically change. Anything else that jumps out? I mean, I know we have UT in the area. We've got some new developments.
We sure do.
Would love to just get your...
UT is, of course, a world-class university. We've got a new medical school, which is extraordinary, a teaching hospital. We've got St. Edward's. We've got other smaller colleges that are great for producing scholars that aren't necessarily interested in that big campus experience. And they tend to stay here. My background, when I used to work for universities, one of the things we would look at is how dispersed the alumni base became 10 years out. And the really great schools in the really great cities, you discover that alums didn't necessarily want to leave the place where they've just spent 4 years or 6 years. They want to stay in that environment because it's become home. So we certainly see that in Austin, that we've got people who are invested in belonging in this community. They don't just fly in, get their degree, and then fly back out to wherever they came. They make a home here.
Great point. So would love to kind of look at the other side of that coin. And you were kind of talking a little bit about with cost of living potentially going up. When we kind of look forward and you look at sort of the other side of the ledger with liabilities or potentially advantages that are at risk, you know, what jumps out to you is saying, you know, if we want to achieve our full potential, here's things that I think we need to address or be aware of.
Well, this won't come as any surprise to you or anyone listening to this, but we need to solve our public transportation issues. I was just talking to someone about, we were talking about parking minimums. And since we're rewriting our land development code and parking minimums for bars in particular, does that encourage people to drive to a bar because they know they'll have a parking spot? And we said, well, there's kind of a wild card there. It's not that they have the option right now, most people, of taking the bus from an entertainment district back to their home. That's just not part of the routes that are offered or at the times that they would be offered. So public transit is a big issue. And obviously, it's connected to vehicle transportation. The more buses or trains that we could get on the road, hopefully, the fewer single passenger vehicles we'd have on the road. And rewriting the land development code to allow for more density near transit corridors to encourage that sort of activity. That's something that I think the city would do well to continue to explore. And they're already looking at it. But we'd love to see an investment there so that you didn't have to, if you were just starting out, you know, have 16 roommates, you'd be able to live a little bit closer to your co-working space.
Right. Other things that jump out to you, I mean, being someone who talks to a lot of people, mm-hmm. other things that you sort of see as sort of things that are holding us back or things that you think might be at risk?
I would be excited to see Austin's tech community explore diversity, not just racial diversity, but gender diversity, age diversity. I think that we have an opportunity as a really generally young-skewing and vibrant city to invite a lot more voices into our conversations. And I don't know if this happens for you guys, but I walk into a lot of meetings and I'm the only one who looks like me. And it's my experience that the more diverse your team is, the better quality of your product when you deliver it, and the more likely it is that you'll be able to anticipate the needs of your customers because you've got a wide variety of viewpoints in the room. And I think Austin's got an opportunity to leverage the talent at all ages and in all social circles in our community by bringing them into the tech conversation.
So one other thing that we're looking at, just to kind of get facts on the table for people to think about, is kind of looking at different industries and thinking about where Austin's had success historically, where Austin may be likely to have success in the future, and not only what industries are likely to have success, but also kind of why. Mm-hmm. And we were talking before the interview kicked off about some of those. Would love your perspective on, you know, what industries you point to as saying, you know what, I really like what we have going on there, and what your explanation might be as to why that is.
Well, things change so quickly. I mean, even between the time that I filled out this survey to now, Bazaar Voice. I mean, things are changing in huge ways constantly. And I mean, if you look at Bazaar Voice as an example, 10 years ago, who would have even thought that would be a thing, much less a business, much less a multi-million-dollar business? So it's hard to predict the future. Obviously, we've got some cool retail things that are happening now. If you look at Whole Foods and you look at Yeti and Kendra Scott, you know, there are these emerging brands. But I think that we're going to continue to be surprised in the future that the big thing 3 years from now is something that no one has even conceived today, because perhaps there's no need for it. The need will identify itself 6 months from now, and someone will jump in and find the pain point and solve the problem and change the game. So
interesting. Well, one of the things that you did, the three companies you listed off, are all sort of consumer-oriented companies, and mm-hmm. you could obviously add to that list. You've got Alamo Draft House. You've got, you know,
absolutely,
CPG products or that we're relatively well known for. What do you think, why do you think that is? Why do you think that Austin's had kind of this long-running history of consumer-oriented companies do well?
I think it has to do with the human scale and the human element. There's a joke that the reason that we were able to have such an amazing and creative music industry here is because when it really kicked off in the 70s, we had cheap food, cheap rent, and cheap weed. And I've been told that that's very authentic to say that. So that's my authentic contribution. But I think that's a big part of where Austin came from. It's about experience. It's about the human interface, for lack of a better word, is how does it feel? How does it look? You look at Bird's Barbershop or Tiff's Treats. I mean, the fact that the cookies are warm, who would have thought that you could build a whole brand around that? But it tapped into something primal, right? That comfort. I think Alamo Drafthouse, the same kind of thing. A lot of these local brands, Toy Joy, the same kind of appeal to an innocence and a sense of comfort and a time when things were simpler. I mean, what's more simple than dinner and a movie? But we've got a group of people who did it right. So I think that's one of the things that makes Austin special is that awareness of the human experience, so that these innovations aren't entirely in people's heads. They're also in people's tummies and their armchairs and other places too.
I really like that point. And I don't know if anyone's ever said it in that way. And I really think you're onto something there with that. I don't even know what the right, but like that sort of, you know, consumer insight that's just sort of built into the water of Austin, where people just, like you said, warm cookies, such a great example where, you know, that seems sort of like a no-brainer, but really no one had done it. And it's really been critical to that brand, and people love those cookies. And it's sort of like realizing where people...
And they're expanding. So
what other things, I mean, I know you're looking at the, you know, you have kind of a holistic view of what's going on in Austin. We talked a little about the Dell Medical School that's moving in. That's obviously worth maybe exploring a little bit. What other institutions, you know, whether they're companies or the university, what other things do you see going on that gets you excited about the future?
Honestly, there's a trend underneath all of that that is really exciting to me, and that's this commitment to social good and social change. I think that that's something that Austin is going to really take ownership of in the next couple of years, and not just because of projects like the Social Good Innovation Center that Notley is putting together, which is extraordinary. But there's an editorial in The Statesman by a consultant named Sally Blue the other day, and it dealt with this idea of failing fast, and that it's one thing to fail fast when you've got this big financial cushion and you're in a corporate environment, you've got other teams. It's something very different if you're in a lean and mean startup operation, a nonprofit that has to account for every penny because it's been donated by somebody out of the goodness of their heart. So taking those risks is really hard. Especially in more, I'm thinking of more established East Coast communities where they have a different relationship with their nonprofit sector. In Austin, there is nonprofit. Every time you turn around, I think there've got to be 1,000. It seems like I know that there are more than 130 nonprofits just in the music space. There are more than a dozen just in music education. So when you add on animal welfare and literacy and social justice and climate change and STEM education, and I mean, it's infinite. And that's where some of the real excitement is happening, I think, because we've got these brilliant tech minds that are on the boards of these nonprofits that are inspiring and empowering people to take chances and to look at things a little bit differently. So it may not be, in the end, what makes the most money for Austin, if you were to do an economic impact study. But in terms of other kinds of impact, I think Austin's innovation in its social good sector, especially as inspired by tech, is something that's going to end up putting us on the map long term.
That's great. So one thing I'd love to get your take on is a little bit about just kind of Austin culture. And we've kind of been kind of talking about it the whole time, but not in a direct way. And, you know, we've been asking people, you know, there's sort of these cultural ontologies of, you know, how different cultures work, and some are more creative, some are more disciplined and structured. Would love to, you know, when you think about that question about what are the sort of defining cultural characteristics of Austin, whether it's, if you're looking at the business world or potentially nonprofit as well, you know, what jumps out when you think about Austin? What makes us sort of distinctive relative to other areas of the regions of the country?
That's a great question. And creativity doesn't capture it. You know, creativity is almost too small a word. When you look at just some of the spaces that have been created within buildings that were built in the 1920s or even before and are very conventional and have lots of right angles, and you go into them now and they've been opened up and there are sweeping views and there are atria and public art and murals and meeting rooms named after nightclubs and that willingness to adjust, tweak, or re-engineer,
adapt
the past, yeah, into something that works today without sacrificing the history that brought it there. It's a delicate balance, and Austin, because of its rapid growth, is struggling with that every day on a number of different issues. You know, where's the fine line between improving a neighborhood and gentrifying it to the point that people are displaced? Where's the line between making a school better and centering a certain point of view to the exclusion of all other points of view? So we're still doing that dance. So as I say, creativity doesn't quite capture it. There's something bigger in the vision that I see of the people here when they look at a box and the possibilities that they see.
I really love that. Is there anything else you'd want to add to that? I really liked that point. And anything else that jumps out? I think about that distinctive cultural characteristics of Austin.
I think part of it too has to do with if you look at the demographics, we skew young. We're a young city. We're a college town, but even the old people skew young. I think that's one of the things that's so much fun about Austin is you can go to a club or you can get on the bike trail or go anywhere and you will see young parents with kids in strollers, you will see retirees, you will see people who are just taking a break because they can't look at their screen anymore and they need a break for an hour. But you see all of that, the community, you see the community. And I would love for us to encourage that kind of just comfortable collision and intersection between people of walking different paths, literally and figuratively. I think that's something that Austin could really teach some other communities about. We don't get it right all the time. We've got work to do, but there's some pretty amazing stuff happening.
I think that's a really good point to end on. Hui, thank you for taking the time to come down and kind of share your perspective on Austin Innovation Ecosystem. I thought this was a really great conversation, a really unique one. I think talked a lot about stuff we had not heard before and I think is right on. So thank you for taking the time to come talk with us.
My pleasure.